Old Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
A finished carpenter and a hack carpenter, because Jesus is the finished carpenter, the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. What is that, Dale? What's a finished carpenter? Maybe I caught you right off the bat. You're brushing your teeth or something, not in here. But I know Dale's a carpenter.
What you got, Cap?
What's a finished carpenter? What's a carpenter is a finished carpenter? Because Jesus said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. What is a finished? What does that mean, Dale, to be a finished carpenter?
They are the master carpenters. They're not just finisher carpenters, because they are the ones who trim things out. They're the ones who bring the absolute punctuality, finished product. And normally they're gifted.
They're the icing on the cake, aren't they, Dale?
Yes, sir. And they normally are able to do above and beyond the expectation of the person.
The author, wow, I got goosebumps bouncing up and down the back of my neck. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He comes in, he puts all the little edges on everything that makes it stand out, that makes it look good. When a good finished carpenter walks through and is done, man, you know he's done. So, oh my goodness. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's our battle, by the way. That's the battle. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. Our battle is with faith, with principalities and powers. The battle against the carnal mind and the carnal nature. The battle against that which you can see and that which you cannot see. Now, faith is, the scripture says, now, right now. I want now faith. Now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for and the evidence of things that you cannot see. See, faith is unseen evidence. It's knowing that you know. Knowing that you heard from the Lord, and you move forward on it, despite all the circumstances around you. See, if everything was planned out and mapped out and strategically set up, you wouldn't need, we use some bad grammar, you wouldn't need no faith. If it was easy and obvious and clear and laid out without some underbrush, without vines hanging down and hitting you in the face, without thorns catching in the arm, without flat tires in your mowers, if it was just rosy, go down that path, it would require no faith. Now, faith, right in the moment that you're in, now, believing now. It's not name it, claim it. I'm not a name it, claim it guy. That, my friends, is reality. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that cannot be seen. I use a for instance. Sky high. I have to have now faith for what that thing's going to look like in 10 years. I can see it. I have faith in it right now. And no matter what the obstacles are, no matter whether money runs dry, no matter whether help quits coming, no matter whatever, I know I know. Right now, I know that that thing is going to be like something we can't even imagine. That is now faith. And a lot of you waver. See, you're a double-minded man if you waver. If you waver. And I use this illustration. I can't say that. I'm sorry, Dale. I almost let cat out of the bag. There is nothing. Yesterday, I took my grandson up Sky High with us. Ride the tractor, mess around with Randy's skid steer. No, Randy, I didn't let him drive it, but he's 4 years old. Sit on the skid steer. And then Mark Trump found this old 22 rifle that Serge had sent down here that had a date on it, a patent date of 1794. Not making this up, 1794, this little 22 rifle it wasn't real big. And it was just something that my grandson could pick it up and carry it around. He was enthralled by this little rifle. He carried it around with him all day. David stayed all night with us last night, as did Bob Evans and Trump. And David carried that gun all day long, everywhere that he went. He was enthralled by it. And because of that, the grandpa's heart, the father's heart, was overwhelmed as I watched that little guy begin to develop, dare I say it, his own sense of masculinity. It was being developed right before my very eyes. Somebody muted me. I couldn't figure out why. At that point, I wanted to do everything I could to encourage his growth in his walk and in his masculinity. Why? Because I was his grandfather. My seed is in that little boy. It's a joy beyond what you can even imagine. And Jesus said, hey, it's Reese. And Jesus said to us, isn't she getting pretty? If you want to listen, you can put that right in your ear there. And Jesus said, if you guys are evil and you want to give good things to your grandkids, how much more? He said, what kind of daddy do you think I am? Somebody said, hi, Reese. See that? Hi. What kind of daddy do we think he is? Not an overbearing daddy, not one that just showers you with gifts, but he's a daddy who allows you to struggle. Loves you enough to struggle. Lets you struggle. If he dives in right away, and if I as a grampy dive in right away and want to bless my little granddaughter before she has walked out her own faith, I handicap her. I say, no, honey, you gotta keep going. You gotta keep working. Yesterday, Reese and I went up there to Sky High, and tell the people what we made, Reese, up there at Sky High. We made it on that concrete.
Oh yeah.
Tell them.
We made.
Speak up a little bit so they can hear you.
We got a patch of concrete, and we put my name and my handprint in it, and so it will always be there.
So we found a place in the concrete that was broken. And we put some new concrete in that. And then what'd you write on it? Do you remember?
Reese.
You put your hand down, and then you wrote Reese the top of it. And we put the date. What was the date? 8/19/19, right? So we put that in there as a little faith walk of where this whole thing started for you. That's what we did. And Reese got to drive the tractor yesterday. Somebody was on there with her. But she got to drive the tractor, and she got to survey that property like she never surveyed it before. And now Reese has an understanding in her heart of what's going on up there. And we talked specifically, me and Reese talked about how this property will be in our lineage forever. Whose property is it, Reese?
David Dobbenmeyer's and the Lord's.
And the family, right? And who's the David Dobbenmeyer family?
the Cressips and the Dobbins.
All of our my children. Is it every Dobbinmeyer in the world?
No.
No, it's our own family lineage that we're passing down. And so what kind of family lineage are you passing down? And I don't go up to Sky ever. I never go. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't go up there ever that I don't see my grandson or my granddaughter, whatever, at some point being up there serving the Lord up in the top of that place. Why? Because I walk by faith, not by sight. Nobody's going to steal that dream from me. And I thank God that Richard Rapp showed up yesterday and Bob Bevins showed up yesterday. And Bob Bevins is going to stay here four days. He's going to stay and he's going to continue to work. And Mark Trump's still here. I'm not trying to make anybody guilty. I'm just trying to say all of us, wherever we are in our faith walk, we need those to come along beside us and help us. It's help us. Bob said he just wanted to come and help. Brought his own mower. Trump just wants to come and help. Just wants to be part of it. It's all part of a faith walk. And that vision, Bible says that where is no vision, the people perish. And perish doesn't mean die. It means you run around without any type of order to your life. Where there is no vision, you're out of control. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. When a vision comes, and you better hear me, the enemy, your carnal nature, whatever, is going to try to do everything possible to steal that vision out of your heart. You got to settle it. You got to settle it. That's now faith. Now faith. I see what's going on, Lord. Okay, I get it. No. Here's where I'm going. Ain't nobody going to distract me. Whether if I die doing this, Lord, I'm going to see this through to the completion. Because no man, the scripture says, builds a tunnel, gets halfway through it. Builds a tower, gets halfway through it, and realizes it's more than he's willing to pay. That ain't now. Hard. You lose faith because it gets hard. You lose faith because it gets rough. Is that really? Is that it? Remember, the vision, cast the vision. Remember this, the provision is for the vision. You cast the vision, you walk out the vision, and the provision follows the vision. I'll quit preaching on it. Just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that there are great things going on and great things going on all around you, and the enemy would like nothing more than to be able to steal that vision right out of your heart. And how does he steal the vision out of your heart? I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. How does he steal the vision out of your heart? How does he do it? How does he steal the vision out of your heart? You know how, Reese? Fear. Fear. Most things you don't do them because you're afraid. Something stops you from moving forward. And it's like when that thing came available, so why wouldn't I buy that? That belongs to the Lord. Why wouldn't we do that? That honors the Lord. Why would we want some big cheese from Columbus to come out here and got $500,000 as pocket money and buy that thing up and then turn it into who knows whatever? Why wouldn't we buy that as honoring the Lord and moving forward? Why wouldn't we do that? Fear, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to get it done? Well, now faith is right now I see it and I'm going for it. Yeah, you with me? Get that off my heart. We need to pray for Jeff Klein's wife, Mary Jane, just was taken into the hospital last night. And Jeff sent me an email this morning. I don't know the degree of it. It's not life-threatening, some stomach issues or whatever. So I'm going to ask Pastor Dale if you'll lift up Jeff Klein, lift up Mary Jane. You know how to do that, Dale. You're a good old
pastor. Hey, brother. Being ready in season and out of season, it has nothing to do with the title. It has to do with the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And Father, we lift this precious couple up to you. And Father, Lord, we know this, that the eyes of heaven are upon him. And it's like if the sparrow falls from the sky, Lord, and that your eyes are upon it, you notice every single one of them. How much more do you notice them? How much more do you care for them? How much more do you love them, Father God, Lord? I pray in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just grab hold of them, comfort them, touch them, heal them, strengthen them, bless them, Lord. Let it be a blessing of overflowing. God, let them know, Lord, that a three-cord strand is not uneasily broken. Father, they do not walk through life together, Father, but they walk, Father God, with a union, with the body of Christ, Father, Lord, at their side, and Christ Jesus at the helm. Father, I pray that you go before them, Lord, plow up the fields, plow out the forests, make rivers and desert places, Father, and pass through the wilderness. Father, we thank you for them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let it be written, so let it be done. That's what Pharaoh said. When Pharaoh said that, so let it be written, so let it be done. So, Jeff, we stand with you and pray for Mary Jane and quick recovery, whatever's going there. Man, my heart's full today. It's just full. I got so much good stuff to share with you, but I got so much other stuff that I want to talk about as well. I appreciate every one of you that are in here. I appreciate Richard Rapp coming yesterday, and I appreciate Bob Evans coming and giving us some time, and others are maybe coming later on. And, you know, it's just a little bit, one day at a time, one guy at a time. Praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord. Let me get over and make sure I thank Richard Rapp and Bob Evans. And whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And I'm sorry, I just keep doubling back here. Whatever it is that's preventing you from moving forward, I promise you this, at the heart of it is fear. That's at the heart of it, fear. Bible says that fear has torment. Some of you can't sleep at night because you have torment of fear. Fear. I often wondered if I would live my life any differently. You're blocking the light on me when you lean forward like that. We have to lean forward together. I've often wondered if I would live my life any differently if I got a diagnosis of terminal cancer. If I went to the doctor today and he told me I have 6 months to live, would I live my life any differently than I am now? And if I would, what's wrong with me now? Ponder on that one a little bit. If you found out that you were on death's door, would you change the things that you're doing? I think most of us would, wouldn't we? I think I'd lay down all the stuff that I spend my life messing around with, and I'd build into her brother, who's and where he is, and build into everything that's close to me, stuff that's really, really important to me. So why does it take a diagnosis of cancer for you to do that? Things of the world. I was going to read out of Galatians here. I've already taken so much time. I feel like I want to move on, although this thing's all. Let me open it up. Somebody come on in here a minute and rescue me.
Well, Dave, one thing comes to mind is there's a old song by Tim McGraw. It says, live like you were dying.
Live like you were dying.
And that's what
because
he does.
We are, Chad.
He goes out and rides a bull. He goes out and skydives. He goes out, does all this stuff. And the most
Connor, find that, Connor. Go to YouTube and find Live Like You Were Dying.
Yeah, he gave forgiveness and he'd been dying.
Come along. Go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah, live like you're dying.
Yeah, and he gave forgiveness that he'd been denying. And see, it's hard for sometimes you just have these grudges that they're deep. And we have to forgive, folks. We just have to. We don't have to keep putting ourselves in those situations, but we got to forgive folks. And we got to also plead folks to forgive us.
Hey, what a mouthful, Chad. Jesus said multiple times, and taught us to pray and remind ourselves about it, that our being forgiven is dependent upon our forgiving our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So, I don't know, Connor, were you able to find that? Now, they're going to ban us on YouTube. Love you, Reese. Thanks for coming down. They're going to ban us on YouTube, right? They're going to ban us on you can't be playing. You certainly can't use something for your show that's on YouTube for the whole world to see. There's copyright infringement if you do that. Tim McGraw would never want his shoes in his song. Oh, no, no. No, he would never, ever want that, right? No, he never would. He never would. Crazy. What a crazy world we live in. Crazy world. Right Wing Watch can grab my stuff and change what I say. They can get away with it, but YouTube doesn't censor them. No, 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 no. They just censor. So, YouTubers, I'm going to tell you this. If you're watching right now and you're watching this on YouTube, YouTube's going to probably ban this video. So you have to learn to come to CoachDaveLive.com. You can watch the free archive there. So after they shut us down, go to CoachDaveLive.com there for free, okay? Tim McGraw, live. Go ahead, Connor. Thank you.
said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't, and I became a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition, and I went three times that year I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu, and I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity to think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu, and I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I watched an eagle as it was flying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying, to live like you were dying.
Live like you were dying. Go ahead and ban us, Facebook, YouTube, whoever the heck you are. Make a mark while we can. Make a mark while you can. Remember when they used to tell you, said, man, that's going to leave a mark. Yeah. We ought to be leaving marks. We ought to be leaving marks. Live like you were dying. Thanks, Connor, for getting that up. Chad, great suggestion, man. That, buddy, that's the flow of the Holy Spirit right there. I got to tell you that. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Donald Trump haters. Hey, Donald Trump haters. Never Trumpers. $60 million Trump pulled away from Planned Parenthood yesterday. $60 million. Courts gave him the right to be able to do it. They are bleeding to death. Planned Parenthood is bleeding to death. We have got to continue to help them in their suicide or their murder. I don't know which one it was. I don't know. Pull up the email that I just sent you. This is what a desperate group looks like. Now, Jared, daggone, hey, go to gender affirming hormone care now available. Pull up that email from Viola. She sent that to me this morning. Let's not lose sight of the evidence around us. Just this email.
Coach, tag on another 3 million. That illegal alien, she beat him. She beat him out of 3 million.
Who did?
Some illegal alien that went to court. They fired her, and then she took him to court, and she beat him out of 3 million.
Oh, she won 3 million in court. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Are we able to get that, Connor? I didn't give you much notice. Popped it on you quickly. Gender affirming hormone care. Planned Parenthood is dangerous, and they are under the gun, and they're going to lose. If you can't find it, I'll read it myself. That's okay. That's all right. It says here, Coach Dave, I went to our Rochester, New York. There it is. I went on my Rochester, New York Planned Parenthood website and saw that gender affirming hormone care is now available at Syracuse and Canandaigua. However, Canandaigua, New York Center. Are you reading this, folks? Planned Parenthood's now into gender affirming. I thought they were Planned Parenthood. I thought they cared about women, women's health care. No, no. They're trying to find some way to make money. They say they are nationally the second largest provider of gender-affirming hormone care. On their site, it says that Planned Parenthood stands with our transgender and non-binary. See, the devil's friends work together, don't they? Colleagues, patients, community members, youth, and families. Oh, Planned Parenthood loves families now, don't they? They say we will fight, we will organize, and we will not stop you. You stop. You matter. You exist. You deserve a better world. We will not rest. They're in a fight to win. Christians are not. The activist grandma, Viola Thomas. Bless you, Viola. Yeah, we don't want to win. We just want to get people saved. We don't want to win. Which is exactly, by the way, leads me into, dare I say it, Mike Heath's commentary today. Throw that up on the screen, and Mike, I want you to come in and I want you to read it, Mike, because hang on before you do. I am so sick. I am so sick. I'm motivated every day when I get up. I am so sick by the complacent, laid back, sissified evangelifish church. I am ready to gag. Over all of the dark stuff that's going on that the church will not even rise up against and push back against it. Where is the church? Where is it? What is going on? Somebody wants to come in. I feel you. Is that you, Mike?
Yeah, that's me.
Because you know what? You know what's going on? I'm going to let Mike talk about it here in a second. I'm all over the place this morning. I'm sorry. That's just... I'm just trying to give you what the Holy Spirit gives me, okay? That's all I'm trying to do. And I think Mike and I have not had this discussion. Mike Heath and I are looking for something genuine. Genuine? Is it genuine or genuine? We're looking for something that's real. And sorry, it ain't being found in the local churches. It isn't. It just isn't. It's not being found in our local churches. It's certainly not being found in the mega churches. It is not being found anywhere. This manly, it's okay to stand up and fight and push back Christianity is nowhere to be found in the world. So I don't know the reasons why. Most of you know, some of you know, not most of you, a lot of you know that Mike has been exploring a journey into, as he calls it, the Roman Catholic Church, which I fled from. And been a journey for him. He's been investigating him. And I know that in Mike's heart, he's looking for something genuine. Something. He's tired of phony Christianity.
Amen.
Christianity rolls over and tolerates and accepts. Sick of it. He says, hey, he's thinking in his mind. I don't know. I'd be thinking in my mind, Lord, this can't be what you started. Lord, certainly you didn't tell us that sodomy was an abomination and then tell us to accept it when your son. You're not double-minded, Lord. Certainly they can't be. What really, when you dig deep, get down in and go back inside, get down in that rabbit hole, what's really at the bottom of Christianity? That was Mike's heart. That's a lot of people's hearts. They just don't know it. They don't know what to say. What is this thing? Does it just feel good? It's Christianity. Just feel good and love your neighbor and get saved. That's it? Is that what it's about? And that's where most churches and most people are stuck. Feel good Christianity. As the world around us, it implodes. If we had any churches awake, they would be smart enough. The pastors would see right now Planned Parenthood's on the ropes. And they'd be organizing and double down and pushing and calling and phoning and marching and walking and doing whatever they can to bury them now. We gotta love them. We can't love them. We have to love those women who are going to go in and kill their baby. Well, what about the babies? And so our walk does not match our faith. Or our faith does not match our walk. I don't care how you do it. Our behavior, you shall know them by their love, the Bible says. What does that mean? You examine their fruit. What is the fruit? And so we find out in America today that if you stand up and push back against evil, you're a hater. And the Bible says you can't hate. Really? Does it say that? Does it say that? Somebody show me where it says that. Where the Lord hates. He hates all workers of iniquity. Who does? The Lord does. What? Yeah. Yeah, he does. He hates them and we love them. Is that the way it goes? Well, let's see. We don't want to dig into this one, do we? Huh? Can I tell you the truth? I hate those baby killers. I hate those babies. I hate them with a godly hate. I hate them. No. Now listen to me. I just don't hate what they do. It'd be so nice if we could. If we could just hate what they do, that would be nice. No. I hate them. They are workers of iniquity, and they are murdering unborn babies. And I'm sorry if your Christianity has taught you to be so stinking soft that you love murderers. God's grace is available to them. I pray they come to Christ. But I'm going to tell you right now, in their sinful state, God hates them, and so do I. Oh, boy, that's going to be on Right Wing Watch. That's going to be on Right Wing Watch. Anybody want to disagree with me?
Go ahead, Alan. Coach, did you see where Rod Parsley, I guess CBN did a story, Rod Parsley took a big delegation out of the border, which, I mean, you know, he's for the same thing Trump's for. But I put on there on CBN, I said, hey, why can't Rod Parsley straighten Columbus out before he heads to the border?
Why didn't he go to the abortion clinic?
That's what I said. I said, why don't he handle abortion and homosexuality in his own city before he traipses down to the border?
Amen. Amen. I'm with you. I know Rod Parsley. We're not best buddies. I know Rod Parsley. I came to Christ through Rod Parsley. I did. I'm not here to bash anybody. What's going on? What? Can't Rod Parsley, I shouldn't talk about him. He's not here to defend himself. Can he see Planned Parenthood's on the ropes? Went to the border. Why did he go to the border? I mean, that's the first time hearing it. Why did he go to the border? What? Went to the border? Was he building a fence? Take a hammer with him? Why did he go to what? Oh, Lord. See, because it all comes back again to that whole idea of love. Love. I'm sorry, I do not love people who kill babies. I don't love them. I don't love them. Wow. It is what it is. Mike, come on in. And Mike, talk about your, or whatever you want to do, Mike, if you just want to read your commentary. I think you don't even know it. I just think I nailed what you were struggling with. Come on in.
Yeah, that was great. If you don't mind, I'll read it. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's from Matthew. Vain repetitions. I've decided later today I'm going to cancel my weekly one-hour session with a local Catholic priest. For the time being, I'm going to go all in with Coach Dave Dobenmeyer's Lonely Hearts Club band. It isn't a church or denomination. He describes it as organic. I think of it as a Christian movement. Regardless, if you want to learn more, it's easy. Just visit Coach Dave Live. But what I love the most about his movement is his dedication to assembling Christians on the streets in the fight for common Christian decency in the United States of America. I'm sick to death of the Western Church, Protestant and Catholic. They are the two official arms of Western Christianity, and both are pathetically weak, especially at the top. The laity of both churches are starting to get woke, as the millennials would say, but I think it may be too little too late. You know things in a civilization are rotten to the core when the most courageous Christian man you can find is Donald Trump. At least he's a man, in a sense.
Stop right there. How about that? Stop right there. How about that, folks? The most courageous Christian man you can find is Donald Trump. That's a mic drop. Go ahead, Mike.
At the core of my being, I wanted my exploration of the Roman Catholic option to work. I don't want to plan my own funeral. I want to be part of a unified church that I don't have to figure out for myself. I'm worn out with the rabid and vapid individualism of Protestantism. I want something deeper and more social. What I realized in meeting with the priest and attending a number of religious services, masses, is that their meetings are no more spiritually potent or real than a Protestant Bible study or worship service. The gritty reality of Christian faith has drained away. I was thinking that the doctrine of transubstantiation would prove enlivening to my parched soul. Admittedly, I'm not giving the real presence a real chance because I'm choosing not to sign on the dotted line with Rome. For now, in my mind, I'm choosing to settle for the grace of baptism. I'm a Christian in the eyes of the Roman Church, I think, though I'm sure some Catholics are going to dispute me on this. God is good. It makes me a bit sad to shelve my consideration of Rome. I was enjoying my meetings with the priest. He's well-educated, and we were enjoying our discussions about the history of Christianity in the West. But I must...
History of Christianity in the West. We don't even know that. Go ahead, Mike.
But I must be respectful of his time. I cannot continue to meet with him if I'm not serious about becoming a member of the Catholic Church. The Holy Spirit has released me. God has placed Polly and me in a wonderful place in our lives. All of our sons, daughters-in-law, and grandchildren live near us. We work for our youngest son, who's building a small, we all know about that. Spiritually, I am much richer than I deserve. God placed Coach Dave in my life. He has done more than any other man to draw me out of myself and closer to Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue fellowshipping with him and the Lonely Hearts Club band he is assembling. I titled this column Vain Repetitions. Some Protestants use that verse to attack Catholics who pray the rosary. They use the verse as a proof text to support their Protestant extemporaneous praying. I reject that application of the verse. This theological squabble, however, illustrates the point I want to make in this column. It doesn't matter to me. Good on you if praying the rosary brings you closer to Jesus Christ in your heart and mind. Extemporaneous evangelifish are no better with their trivial, clanky, syrupy worship choruses.
Amen.
I'm a Christian American. I'm Christian by baptism and American by birth. This place is my home. America stops being American when it stops being Christian. This much I know. And there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't hate divorce, baby murder, drunkenness, and debauchery. I want a tongue on fire for what's right and true. I'm not giving up on America. I believe we can exorcise the democrats among us.
Amen.
I don't care whether we remain a democracy with two political parties or become a monarchy again. I'd prefer a king who honors Jesus Christ to the political disaster America is right now.
Amen.
Most Americans have no idea what distinguishes a democracy from a republic. They don't care to know. All they care about is being able to enjoy their gay disco. And that's just the Christians who go to church. Most Americans now think a constitution is only a person's physical state. They could care less about the old document long ago emptied of its power by so-called positive law. Truth be told, American churches today have more in common with a gay disco than the church Jesus Christ established 2,000 years ago. Coach Dave's Christian movement is closer to what Jesus intended than any church I've ever attended. Apologies to my wonderful Catholic friends who have been reaching out to me in recent weeks. I love you. And to my evangelifish friends, I ain't all in with you either, obviously, but I love you too. Hey, at least I didn't title this column, I Kissed Christianity Goodbye.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. somebody else's heart?
Couldn't hear you, Coach.
No, I'm asking anybody else in the queue, is that your heart as well? Is that what you're seeking? Is that what it is? A deeper, traditional commitment to Christ and the Bible rather than this fluffy, I'm okay, you're okay, Jesus loves everybody, tolerate everything, evangelifishism that we see going around? Come on in, Larry.
Yes, it is, Lord, Coach. I want to thank both of you, Mike and yourself, for helping me to do this walk. I appreciate it. God bless. Yeah.
It can singing be lonely. Dave. It can be lonely. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, singing my song for decades.
Yeah, I just want some balance in the church. I'm tired of no balance.
Amen. Boy, there is no balance, is it? It's like the church is oblivious to anything outside the four walls. It is amazing. So,
the church is not oblivious. The church, real church, is those of us here that understand and are seeking for more understanding and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. That calls itself the church is oblivious because it is a satanically led bunch of social clubs.
We need to go in there and rescue some, though, folks. We need to go in there and rescue some. There are a lot of them sitting. I was one. Roger was one. Sitting in church, frustrated, and don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do. They want to go to church. They want to take their children to church. They want to raise them in a Christian environment. And they are getting syrup, and they know it, but they don't know what else to do. Come on over here, Dave. Lonely Hearts Club Band. I want to hear from some more of you. Come on in.
Look at
this guy right here. This guy right here drove a tractor yesterday for the first time. This guy right here. Come on in. I'm sorry.
Yep. I'm well with you on this as well. And there's the Bible references the remnant church, and there's the remnant of the Jews who were in exile. And that's what we are. We are the remnant church.
Yeah, but see, we have to be careful. Gary, I agree with you. But see, we have to be careful because a lot of time we become prideful. I got it all right and you got it all wrong. There he is. Look at that. He drove a tractor yesterday for the first time. Sat on a skid steer, didn't you? Got a gun. Oh. And so we think, okay, well, now we got it right. We got it right. And so your friends are accusing you of, well, you joined that cult, following our coach, of joining the cult. Well, hey, they're sitting in a congregation following a pastor. They don't call him a cult, right? See, they call anything a cult. It's a group of people who've come out from that beast. They don't want to be part of that beast anymore. They call you a cult. Oh, the 10,000 people, Joel Osteen says, that's not a cult, is it? No, that's not. Why? Because they towed the party line on everything. So that can't be a cult. No, we're the cult. We're the cult because we stand up and we look out around and say, something's wrong here. Where's the church? Well, we're the cult. We're the cult. Come on in. Come on in. Hey, this is better than your amening. This show's better than your amening out there today. I want you to know it. This goes to the heart of it. It goes right to the heart of it. What it's all about. Oh, man. All right. Nobody's going to say anything. I'm going to move on to something else.
Come on in. The water's fine.
Come on in. The water's fine. Yeah. What else? What else? I'm through apologizing. I say that all the time. What else would motivate a guy like Bob Evans to come here for 5 days, mow grass and pull weeds, paint? What else? Because that brother's looking for some place to plug his heart into. That's what's going on. What else would explain Richard Rapp taking a day off and coming out here? Because he's looking for some place to plug his heart in. Stop making faces. That's what he's looking for, some place to plug his heart in. You can go back upstairs, buddy. Thanks for coming down. This guy drove a tractor and he's all excited about it. We'll drive some more today, Davey. That's where I am. Hey, I wish I could go sit in some. I can't do it. Go sit in some congregation surrounded by a bunch of people I don't even know and act like they're my church family. Wish I could. Wish I could. All right. Mm-hmm.
Dave, yeah. You got it all wrong. You got to join a small group.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a family within a family, right? Family within a family. That's
yeah.
Small. You're just not connecting because you're not in a small group.
Yeah. Well, I got a small group. I could pick up a phone right now and I could ask Dr. Mike Spalding to pray for me and help me with anything, and he would do it. And I never see him. I don't need to go there every Sunday to know he's on my side. We're walking hand to hand. I look down through here. I need some. I'm looking at names. I could call Glenn Claremont. Glenn would help me right now. George Lewis would help me. Good to hear you, George. Dan Bukowski. Dan would help me. I know Dale Socia would help me. I know Don Vald. I'm reading the names down there. These guys would do anything they could. Why? Because they want to be members of a cult? No. Because they understand the relational thing that's missing in the American church. They understand that. They say, I want part of it. I want to be more of it. I want more of it. I want more of it. They walk away. Somebody said to me on Sunday, I hate to go home. I hate to go home. Because we're a cult, right? We're a cult.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if pastors would take that kind of mentality, you don't need a big church. Brother, I want to tell you something. You know I'm a small church, but brother, everybody in my church, I got to go help somebody tonight do plumbing in their house. They dropped their ring down in the tub and it went down the drain. My son goes out there and we video chat and I showed him how to do it. Now I get to go put that stuff back together. If pastors had that mentality, let me tell you what. I've never preached a tithing message in my church, ever, never. 95% of the people in my church give far above and beyond, and that's why we're able to do the things that we do, because it's relational.
Tithing is not a New Testament command. If you are tithing out of duty, hey, I hope you're given. Oh, I hope you're given. Huh? Tithing is just a training ground to give.
Yep.
If you're giving to your church because you feel you are duty bound to do so.
Nope. You've missed it already, Coach. You want it, and for those who will say, well, tithing, that's that law thing. You're right. It's duty out of desire. I bring them to the book of Acts, and I said, let me tell you what relationship is. When you read in the book of Acts, I believe it's the fourth chapter, and it says, and as the Lord was adding to the numbers, it says they came, they sold their property, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed it as they saw the need of the people. Brother, that's relational.
But that's before the internet, Dale. Mm-hmm. Now they just friend Jesus on Facebook, and they're all good and ready to go.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay. Dang, I got to get me one of them.
Yeah, nobody's all in anymore. Amen. Hey, listen, so let's do this. This is good. I'm going to try to wind down here because I'm wound up. Jared, Connor, click on Prager University on censorship. This is critical. I got this sent to me by about 10 different people. This is so good. Dennis Prager is suing Google and Facebook and over free speech. I think that's who he's suing. It's the most important lawsuit going on, one of the most important lawsuits going on in America today, in my not so humble opinion. And Dennis Prager's lawyer comes on and explains to us why this is critical, why this is important. And it's a 6-minute Prager University video. Go ahead and play that, Connor.
Right now, and perhaps the free world, is Prager University versus YouTube. You might consider this a grandiose statement, especially since I'm the lead attorney for PragerU. I assure you, it's not. That's because this case is about the most fundamental freedom Americans have, freedom of speech, as enunciated in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. All our freedoms, the very concept of freedom, springs from this right. Lose it, and we're no longer free, not as individuals and not as a nation. I'm not willing to accept that. PragerU doesn't accept that, and you shouldn't either. Okay, so how did we get into this situation? A little background. PragerU is what is called a 501c3, a nonprofit educational media company. It's known primarily for its 5-minute videos. In 2016, viewers began to notice that certain PragerU videos were no longer available. YouTube had placed them on its restricted list, which prevents the videos from playing on computers using content filters to screen out violence and pornography. PragerU assumed this was simply a case of bad algorithms. But YouTube said no. Each restricted video had been reviewed by a walking, talking human. The list included such diverse titles as Are the Police Racist? By Heather McDonald, Israel's Legal Founding by Alan Dershowitz, and even a video on the Ten Commandments by Dennis Prager. YouTube deemed each one unsuitable for young people, treating these videos the same as they would, say, for ones containing pornography or excessive violence. Keep in mind, this is PragerU we're talking about, as mainstream as you can get. And that ultimately turns out to be the issue. PragerU's center-right content, many of their videos, by the way, have no political theme at all, offends YouTube sensibilities. In other words, the videos aren't being restricted to protect young people from inappropriate content. They're being restricted to protect young people from ideas YouTube disagrees with. We didn't want to sue. We tried to reach an accommodation. But when YouTube wouldn't take the offending videos off the restricted list, there are now 100 on that list, we had no other option. YouTube was infringing on our right to free speech. We filed in federal court in late 2017, and thereafter in California state court. Wait a second, you might say. YouTube, which is owned by Google, is a private company. Can't they do anything they want? The answer is yes and no. Yes, if they are a publisher. No, if they are a public forum. So what's the difference? This gets right to the nub of the matter. A publisher chooses the content that resides on its site. The New York Times is a perfect example. You can't write a story and just expect the New York Times to publish it. The Times chooses what appears on its pages or website. And if they publish a story that contains a malicious lie or violates copyright law, they can be sued. PragerU is also a publisher. It decides what material gets placed on its website. Most sites are publishers. In contrast, a public forum, which can be a physical location like the classic town square or a shopping mall, or a virtual location like a website, is a place that must allow individuals and organizations to exercise their free speech rights. YouTube is an example of a public forum. In fact, YouTube describes itself as a public forum. You make a video, YouTube hosts it, and anyone with an internet connection can watch it. Facebook is also a public forum, and so is Twitter. Here's why this is so important. A public forum under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, a law co-sponsored by Democrats and Republicans and passed by Congress in 1996, is not subject to liability for content placed on its site. If someone posts a video about how to build a bomb or writes a threatening comment, the public forum website cannot be held legally responsible for that content. That's a good thing. It gives YouTube and other public forums the chance to host a wide variety of material, from nature videos to political diatribes, without fear of being sued. And it worked. And then it didn't. A few years ago, the social media giants, Google, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, started to behave not like public forums, but like publishers. They stopped following Section 230, which specifically requires that these websites promote a true diversity of political discourse, and began to judge content by their own political and social criteria. In other words, the social media giants wanted both ways. They want the protections of a public forum and the editorial control of a publisher. We're fine if they're a publisher, and we're fine if they're a public forum. They just can't be both. If we win our legal action, YouTube will have to return to the way things were when they started. That's freedom. But if we lose, YouTube gets to act as a publisher while pretending to be a public forum. That would mean much less freedom, and then, eventually, no freedom. Because the most powerful internet sites on Earth will determine what you see and what you don't. I'm Eric George, Managing Partner, Brown George Ross, for Prager University.
Hey, have you ever heard it explained as clearly as that? They want to be able to say they're public and have all the protections of the government from being sued and everything. They're a public forum. We can't control. We're not responsible for what people say. And then be a publisher and decide which stuff they're going to put on there, depending on what they believe. You can't have it both ways.
We get that posted.
You know, I'm glad that he differentiated between the constitutional right of free speech and the protected legal right of free speech by that Bill 230 that he was talking about. Because so many people use the wrong authority. The Constitution of the United States says that Congress cannot make a law abridging free speech or stopping free speech. Right. But and most states have a comparable law where the state legislator can't make a law. But like he said in that 230 thing, there's the law that Congress did pass differentiated between public forums and private, whatever you call it. And that's the way we should refer to it when we talk to people. We don't want to be in error and tell people, well, the Constitution guarantees I have free speech. No, it just guarantees that the Congress won't stop it.
Amen. Amen. Hey, real quick, I'm going to leave you with a black eye. Pull up Epstein Island real quick there, Connor. Epstein Island. I want you guys to see this. And Connors, get it to the 3-minute mark. This blew me away. This is a drone video. Move it to the 3-minute mark, Connor, because we don't have much time here. This is a drone video to where the drone gets down so close and it peeks inside this room. And look, go back just a little bit, Connor. Look at this bed inside this Epstein place, a wrapped blood on the bed, wrapped in plastic. This is just somebody snuck in there with a drone. Go ahead and play that, Connor. There's no sound to it, folks. No sound, but just let the images show you. Go ahead. Again, no sound to it. We have a drone going to zoom in this window. It'll get better. Hang with us. This is in that creepy temple that they built. Watch the bed here. Watch the bed. I'm going to zoom in a little more on it. What appears to be a blood-soaked bed wrapped in plastic is about to come up. Just from one angle. Going to catch it from another angle. And look how disheveled the room is. Now, I don't know whether it's because investigators have been in there looking at it or what. I'm going to get it from another angle. Drones are amazing, aren't they? Blood-soaked bed. Changes the lighting on. Zoomed in. What was going on in that room? I wonder. Okay, Jared, Connor, good job. Folks, we live in, I wanted to read from Galatians today. Maybe I'll get a chance to do that tomorrow. We are bombarded everywhere we look by the forces of darkness. And I, as a guy who had two of my grandchildren sit on my lap in the midst of this show today, I have a decision that I'm going to have to make. Am I going to live my life in the comfort of my final days? Or am I going to fight like Hades to restore some semblance of a constitutional form of government, a Republican form of government to my children? Am I going to continue to live in a nation where there is a legal system but no justice system? Am I going to continue to hand off to my grandchildren a nation, a state, a city where debauchery reigns because of this broken legal system? Or am I going to stand up and push back and live out my Christian faith and try to do what Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Am I going to try to live that out, or am I going to sit back in my hammock and wait for the rapture bus? That's a decision that we're all going to have to make. I've made my decision. I've counted the cost. I'm more than halfway down this path, and I ain't turning back. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.